We've all gone through our own traumas. And the best thing you can do for people is allow them to feel like they're not alone in this world. It's like this relief of trying to have this perfect life. And it doesn't serve anyone well.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer, now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. What are you the best in the world at? You're most likely going to be like a deer in the headlights when I ask that question. And I have a confession for you. So was I before I met today's guest. As engineers, we love to be literal and precise with our words, and it felt impossible to be the world's best at anything when I don't know that for a fact. I mean, what measurement system are we using here anyway? Which is why I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. Meet the man affectionately known as the world's best courage coach, Laban Ditchburn. A child badly affected by divorce, poverty, and dysfunction, Laban sought validation and escape in all the wrong places. But through a journey of self-discovery and a ton of hard work, he conquered the full gamut of addiction: alcohol, sex, gambling, drugs, and maybe the most toxic of all, negative self-talk. In the end, that hard work paid off by understanding and then reverse engineering the root cause. Giving up his addictions was almost effortless. And now he revels in unabashedly sharing what he's learned: how to conquer the demons you don't know you have, and how to be unstoppable in getting to where you want to be. Laban teaches people to bet on themselves, and the time is now to bet on you. One quick thing I'd love to ask for your help with. If you've been listening to the show and you've been enjoying the content, it would help us reach more engineering leaders if you would subscribe to the show and leave a review of what you're taking away from these awesome guests like Laban. Are you an engineer who is listening because you want to reach the next level, but don't know how to get there? I know exactly how you feel and would love to chat about how to get results. A lot of engineers want help. They want to accelerate their career, but what holds them back is that most of the career coaching services out there are generic, and they just want you on the phone to get a commitment and a credit card. That's why on our career clarity calls, we do it a bit differently. We are there to help you gain a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers you're facing so you can choose the right next step for you. It's totally free. There is no commitment, and that call is meant to serve you. And if we're a good fit, we've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions also for free, which we want to give our podcast listeners first. Setting up a career clarity call is easy. Go to careerclaritycall.com. You can grab that link in the show notes or just memorize it: careerclaritycall.com. All you're going to do is click the big orange button, select a time on our calendar that works for you, and my team will begin pouring into your career so you can get to that next level. Chat soon. Happy engineers, welcome back. I can't wait for this conversation with my man and new friend, Laban Ditchburn, who's here, has an incredible story. I can't wait to dig in, but the reason you will love this man is the same reason I do, that Laban is the world's greatest courage coach. And if there's one thing at Oasis of Courage that we like to talk about, it's that. And Laban, thank you so much for making time to be with us today. I'm so excited to be with you, man.
Zachary White, my honor and pleasure, and the time that we've known each other, it's just been a blessing upon blessing. So thank you for taking the time. And I will just give one clear distinction, and I'll explain why as we go into this in the show. World's best courage coach. worlds, and it's very important. And I'll explain that because there's a few people going,
this is so good.
People are going, why did he just call himself?
I like this. Okay, so world's greatest, world's best. Let's just start right there, man. I love that distinction. Tell us about why and how this came to be.
So this, in September 2021, I had an experience watching a YouTube video with a guy called Steve Hardison. Now, Steve Hardison is, up until recently, an enigma. He didn't really exist anywhere apart from this one video of him doing a speech about a footballer, Deuce Latouille, who played for the Arizona NFL team. Steve Hardison, to give you an idea, is an executive coach. To work with him is $200,000 for 50 hours of his time. Devout Mormon guy, but the most extraordinary person I've ever encountered, right? Now, watch this video. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes long of DNA alteringly good content. And if you could post the link in the show notes below,
absolutely,
for people,
absolutely.
That'd be, you know, even if you get 1% of what I got from it, it'd be absolutely worthwhile. But I watched this video with this guy and I was so moved by this. It's like, man, I need to be in the presence of this guy to see if what I've experienced watching this video is what I would experience in real life. So I'm a very resourceful individual and I called him up, picks up the phone, and I said, Steve Hardison, it's Laban Ditchburn from Melbourne, Australia. He goes, Laban, so great to hear from you. I've been waiting for this call all my life. I'm immediately endeared to this guy. Now, this guy, to give you further context, has coached the CEO of billion-dollar companies, Iyana Van Zandt, who's Oprah Winfrey's coach, right? That's the sort of the caliber. And I knew that he didn't need a lot from what I'd heard about him. And I said to him, Steve, I just watched this video with you and Deuce Latouille, and I was so moved by it. And I just wanted to ask you one very specific question. He said, what's that, Laban? I said, what do you need help with? He goes, wow. He said, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to ask me that. He said, you know what, Laban, I'm 65 years of age. I'm 8% body fat. I do 10 miles a day. I really am lacking for nothing, but I really wanted to thank you for asking me that question. I said, oh, no worries, Steve. Now, the other thing about Steve that I didn't tell you, he doesn't go on interviews or podcasts. When I say he's an enigma, like that's his thing, right? Wow. And I said to him, Steve, are you still not going on podcasts and interviews? He said, that's right, Laban. I said, oh, no worries. I said, look, I'm a speaker. I'm a coach. I got this amazing podcast series called Become Your Own Superhero. And I'm well on my way to becoming known as the world's most positively influential speaker. But someone that I admire and respect recently said to me, Steve, that there's too much ego associated with that. And he goes to me, this devout Mormon guy, Laban, you tell that person to fuck off. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Okay. I'm getting all evangelical at this point. I go, who are you, Steve? He said, I'm the best coach in the world. And he delivered that statement with zero ego.
Yes.
If you can imagine trying to hear that without any ego and receiving it without any ego. And that conversation sparked a further conversation with another friend of mine, Chris Doris, who was coached by Steve Hardison. He's about $2,500 an hour if you were to work with him. And that day, talking to Chris Doris, we came up with the world's best courage coach. And I needed money at the time. My darling Anna was in Russia for some urgent family stuff. And he said, here's what we're going to do. And we came up with this formula to ring the CEOs of the biggest companies on the planet and deliver this line, this cold call line. And I tried a few people in the US and I couldn't get through and it was starting to get late. And I called this company in Australia, this company, Hodges Real Estate, the oldest real estate company in Australia. And this guy picks up the phone and he said, Tony speaking. I said, Tony, it's Laban Ditchburn from Melbourne, Australia here. He said, hi, Laban. Do we know each other? I said, Tony, we've never spoken before, but today's your lucky day. And here's the line I delivered. He laughed. He said, why is it my lucky day, Laban? I said, because, Tony, I'm the world's best courage coach, and I teach your people how to take bold, massive, and strategically courageous action in order to facilitate miraculous outcomes. And what happened that day, Zach, was a 13-minute conversation with Tony Zarka that resulted in a further invitation to come back the following Wednesday via Zoom because we were still in lockdown there. to present for some training and coaching that this company had.
Wow.
That next week rolled around. So no slide deck, no warm intro, no nothing, just an outrageous cold call with a declaration.
Yes.
And that following week was a 30-minute call that took an hour and three quarters. I asked him one question at the start about what he wanted to do with the company. And he, you know, he had quite aggressive goals as a coach and as a CEO rather, and wanted to take it from good to great. And I listened for like 45 minutes, and the power is in the listener, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said to him, Tony, what about becoming the best real estate company in the state of Victoria? And he's looking back at me and he starts nodding and looking up and left. You can see his brain whirring away.
Yes.
And I said, well, what about becoming the best real estate company in Australia? And he's nodding more vigorously now, right? And I said, Tony, you do realize that in order for you to have the best real estate company in Australia, you need to be the best real estate CEO in Australia. And 5 minutes later, Zach, I had the CEO of this company standing out of his chair, yelling at the top of his lungs, I'm the best real estate CEO in the world.
Yes, this is so exciting. Okay, so what I love here, and you're pulling me into the energy of this so much, Laban, is the audacity of that statement, whether it's world's best courage coach, the best real estate CEO in Australia, combined with what you said earlier from Steve, that it comes without ego. Help us understand how you, and then with your clients and the people you coach, how do you bring those two things together? Where does it come from if it's not from a place of ego?
It's a brilliant question, and it took me a little bit of time to figure this out because I don't think the world has ever seen anything like this before. And the reason I say that is because I'm witnessing the transformative effect it's having on other people that are declaring themselves the world's best in their chosen niche or niche, right? What it is, it's a commitment that I make to myself every single day when I get out of bed. How would the world's best courage coach conduct himself? And it forces me to behave in a way that I am constantly leveling up. You know, we all have Michael Jordan level genius at something, right? False humility is a very ugly thing.
Yes.
And growing up in New Zealand and Australia, this tall poppy syndrome that exists, and I know it exists in other parts of the world where it's discouraged to step into your genius, is a scourge on society, in my opinion. And if more and more people were allowed to step into their field of excellence, the world would be a much better place, in my opinion. And so when I talk to people about becoming the best in the world, it's non-quantifiable and it's intangible, right? So if you were to say to me, Laban, I'm the world's best 100-meter sprinter, unless you're the best-kept secret in North America, we know that's out of alignment. But if you look at what it is that you do with your work and what's the problem that you solve, so for me, it's alleviating fear. Well, what's the opposite positive affirmation? Well, it's courage, world's best courage coach. And when you say best, there's room for other people to be the world's best. You don't have to knock anyone off that pedestal, right? The rising tide lifts all boats. But the way that the universe distributes these responsibilities, we all step into our own little area of expertise. And that's really the power of this declaration. And now when people ask me what I do, Zach, it's my new favorite question. It's,
yes.
Well, I'm the world's best courage coach. And 99% of people respond with this, wow, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And then I go, well, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm an author, I'm a podcast, I'm a husband-to-be. Like, I've got all these feathers in my cap. And, you know, especially with what you do and our audience here, you're not just engineers. We are not defined by what we do. But if you give people the clarity by having this 5 or 6, 7 word statement of commitment to the universe, the world has transformed in front of my eyes. And in the time that I've made that declaration, I just got confirmed to speak in an event in Florida in September called the Upgrade Your Life Tour. And I'm speaking on stage, confirmed at this point, Tom Ziegler, Zig Ziegler's son.
Yes.
Kevin Sorbo, which is Hercules. Waldo Walbin, who's a Hall of Fame speaker and war hero. And Les Brown. And we're waiting on confirmation from Ron DeSantis and maybe a couple of other people. But like, who the fuck am I? How dare I? Like, no high school qualifications, no college, no certification in anything. How dare I? I just did.
Yes. So the statement, world's best, leaves room for other people to be with you at that top of the, there's room for more. Other people can join. Is that the key distinction between best and greatest? Or take me back to that original correction. What is it for you that makes those two words different?
Look, I really just energetically feel misaligned. I think it's an ego thing. I haven't quite yet worked it out, but it doesn't leave room for anyone else. I don't know. There's just something about it. It took me a few attempts to figure out what it was, but when we nailed it, you'll know. Like, it was just right here in my sternum. I was like, whoa. And so we've created a whole movement now. We created a mastermind group where people that are declaring themselves the world's best. It's amazing. It's the only way to describe it. It's just amazing, the impact it's had on people.
It's amazing. When Laban and I first connected, he introduced himself to me this way, as the world's best courage coach. And of course, I go get it wrong at the beginning of our show here, and it led for a great thread. I'm glad we pulled it. But Laban challenged me to create my own authentic, fully aligned world's best statement. And as of a few days ago, I have started declaring into the world and over my life that I am the world's best lifestyle engineering coach.
Ooh,
the heartbeat of what Awaco does. And our flagship program is the Lifestyle Engineering Blueprint. And that is within the world of what I do. How courage comes to life for me is through this journey to lifestyle engineering. And so I'll tell you what Laban just described. The statement causes you to identify with it in a new way, and we're constantly recommitting and leveling up. It's only been days, Laban, since I put this out into the world, and it already has made a tremendous difference. And this morning, prepping for this conversation, I asked myself, what would the world's best lifestyle engineering coach do to prepare for this conversation? And, you know, I meditated, I got myself ready, and it was tremendous. So here's the thing I want to highlight for everybody that's so cool. Most of us are caught in a conversation about imposter syndrome. But what you're talking about is this opposite end of false humility. That is just as dangerous as the idea of feeling like an imposter. Can you just tell us more, Laban, in your experience as a coach, why or what would you say drives us into that place of false humility?
Conditioning. And it's fantastic that you've made that declaration, Zach, and already getting positive response. And I'm so excited to hear how it further impacts your life and the lives of people around you, just to acknowledge that statement, because it is shrouded in boastfulness, which is, again, just conditioning. And this is the thing. I've had a number of really high-profile guests on the podcast, and one of them was Sir Steve Hansen, right? And Sir Steve Hansen, most people in North America wouldn't have heard of him, but he's the former New Zealand All Black coach.
Oh, wow.
Now, he's incidentally, so Sir Steve, he's been knighted by the Queen, right? He is the most successful sporting coach across all codes on the planet from an international competition level, right? And when I interviewed him, his levels of humility were so profound that you couldn't really extract some of the genius. Now, I'm not having a dig at Sir Steve. I mean, he endorsed my book and wrote the most amazing thing. And he shared some stuff on the podcast about going through marriage counseling and stuff that he's never shared anywhere on the media in New Zealand, Australia. But if people like that only knew the power of vulnerability and sharing, they could have a far greater impact than what they're already doing. And I think that's the importance of breaking away from conditioning. Is this thought that I'm having a real thing, or is it just a learned behavior from parents that were hushed? Children should be seen and not heard. And then they carried that into generational trauma into the next generation, right? Now, that's just my opinion, but it seems to be working. And I'm seeing dozens of other people step into their genius and report back without me putting any parameters to it, saying, Laban, this is what's happened since we've declared this world's best. And so that to me is a sign that it works. And also when you go to Namecheap.com where you buy domains, all of the domains for these are available. You know, I got like world's best PR company, world's best publishing, like world's best courage. Like that means this, no one's ever thought of this before in this current era. And I really feel like I've stumbled across something magnificent that can have a wonderfully profound effect on the world because it transcends race and creed and politics, yes, and everything else in the middle.
So true. I'm making a note to purchase the URL for my world's best lifestyleengineeringcoach.com.
Yeah, Laban, update your Zoom thing, update your social media, update your podcast, just put it out there and get people to clear it back to you when you're on their podcast.
Yes, I love that. So become your own superhero. This idea, stepping into your genius, I think that's a message that at some level, if we get past the baggage in our life that might be happening right in front of our face, we all have that place inside of us that just longs for that sense of stepping fully into that, living into our potential and becoming our own superhero is such a great phrase. Laban, would you just take us back? Most people listening probably haven't heard of you or heard your story before. It's all about how you've turned your mess into your message, negativity into a superpower. Give us a little bit of that context in your own journey and how you became aware of the transformational impact of becoming a superhero. Just go and back it up, man. How did you get here?
Well, 6.5 years ago, I was grinding along the floor of rock bottom and finally ground to a halt. I think sliding along the floor of rock bottom. and I bounced along the floor and then finally settled and got to a point where I was like, this isn't quite the life I imagined for myself, you know, as a young man. And that was being very generous because my life was a fucking disaster zone, right? And I made a decision to ask for help, not so that I appeared weak, but so that I could remain strong. And I kept asking for help until I got it. And I struggled with drinking and drugs and gambling and philandering, limiting beliefs, negative self-talk and autoimmune disease. I was fat. I couldn't hold decent relationships with women. And over the last 6.5 years, I've systematically knocked off each one of those motherfuckers. And it turns out when you do that, you've got some credibility when it comes to further sharing that story. And so at the start of 2020, when COVID hit, my career as a speaker was about to kick off and my first paid speaking engagements were all canceled within the first, about a week out. And they were like $400 a day speaking engagements, right? And we were in Melbourne, Australia at the time, which had set the record for the longest lockdown city out of anywhere in the world at one point. It might still be the record. We had something like 280 days of curfew and craziness, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, I need a way to get my message out. So I created a podcast, and the last event that we'd gone to before everything was shut down was the Professional Speakers Australia event in South Australia. And I networked my backside off, spent our last money getting to Adelaide and going to this event, bought a few guests on, and then was able to get Les Brown on, who I mentioned before. For those who don't know, Les is regarded really as the greatest ever motivational speaker, living or dead. And I had 10 subscribers at that point. I didn't tell him that. Had he asked, I would have told him, but I didn't volunteer that information. But I rang him up, cold called him, Laban Ditchburn from Melbourne, Australia. And he came on and I asked him what he thought of the name of the podcast, Become Your Own Superhero. And he was so brilliant in the way he responded. And if you haven't heard Les speak, get on YouTube and check out a 10-minute video. It'll change your life forever.
Yes.
But he was so warm and endearing that when he finished, I just verbally diarrheaed the story of transformation that I just shared with you guys. And he just listened intently until I finished and then went for about 7 minutes. It was the longer version. And he said, congratulations, Laban. And I said, thanks, Les. He said, do you have a book? And I said, no, I don't. Now, as I said, didn't finish high school, never went to college, no formal degree, no nothing. He said, if you're going to be a speaker, you need a book for credibility. And I said, right. He said, who was the most influential person in your life when you were 5? And I thought about it for a minute, Zach, and I was like, despite her many, 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 many flaws, it'd have been my darling mother. And so he says, well, what attributes did you get from your mother? And I started thinking about it for probably the first time in my life. I was like, actually, she was like unconditionally loving and tenacious and spiritual. And he's writing all these things down. He looks up at me, Zach, and he says, Laban, this is a God moment. He said, I'm going to show you how to monetize your purpose. And so for the next 10 minutes, Zach, he reads back to me a blueprint for this book he wants me to write called Bet on You. He said, Laban, you're going to write the book. You're going to turn the book into a keynote. You're going to turn the keynote into a three-day retreat. He said, even if you muck this up, you're going to make 200 grand in the next 12 months. And he said, and I'm going to write the foreword for your book. And this was in mid-May 2020. And I said, Les, if you're going to write the foreword for my book, I'll have it to you by June 30, 2020. And in 6 weeks, I pumped out 30,000 words of the first draft of Bet on You and changed my whole life in the process.
That's incredible. And I will say, Les's intro and the first two pages of the book Bet on You will grip you to read the rest. So everyone listening, just jump out to Amazon, get it on Audible, or get the Kindle edition of Laban's book, because the first story about double and trouble will grip you. You're going to want to read what Laban has to say. It's a tremendous, tremendous book. This idea then, turning negative situations and experiences and traumas of your life into a superpower. If somebody hearing this is like, that sounds nice, but you know, you don't know what I'm going through, Laban, or, hey, where do I begin with that? Where's the starting point? You mentioned asking for help, but like, talk to us a little bit about going back to that moment of awareness. I'm at rock bottom. I've come to a total halt. What did it take to change the trajectory?
I was in tremendous amounts of emotional pain, some physical, you know, a lot of spiritual dysregulation. Like my alignment was out. I was really unhealthy mentally, and just the trajectory of my life was really hitting off a cliff, and it wouldn't have been much longer before I ended it. And I did have suicidal tendencies at times, particularly when I was coming down off drugs and alcohol. And no wonder, right? My whole body was inflamed and it was a disaster zone. I was surrounded in the worst people. But let me share something personal with this audience, if you'll allow me, Dag.
Please. Thank you.
Perspective is a hell of a drug, and we should never compare ourselves to anyone apart from the person we were the day before, but this will help. So I went through my journey, and I was a child of divorce. Nothing more innocuous than that, but I suffered immeasurably. I was raised by parents who were ill-equipped to look after themselves fully, let alone their children. And I used coping mechanisms to deal with that dysfunction. And we had custody battles and lawyers and being stolen away from foster homes and poverty with regards to physical stuff like food and resources, but also the poverty mindset, which was the real challenge with that. So I had to go through a process of de-learning and then relearning the stuff. And that was the challenging part, but absolutely worthwhile. I met Anna, my darling fiancée. We're going to get married any day now. We're going to elope to Vegas, we think. And we've been together 3.5 years. And she's the woman I knew I wanted to meet my whole life, but was beginning to think I wouldn't, right? Met her in the streets of Melbourne. You can read all about it in the book. It's a great story. But her and I have had 15 consecutive miscarriages cumulatively. Two of those have been ectopics, one of which nearly killed her in 2019.
Oh, wow.
In 2020, after going to countless doctors and trying to figure out what was going on, they couldn't find anything. Anna knew what was going on. From 15 to 21, growing up in Russia, a stepfather was systematically abusing her, resulting in two pregnancies that were illegal, so they became forced abortions, one of which damaged the uterine wall and is responsible for the miscarriages, right? Now, I know that's heavy for the audience, and I'm not sharing this for sympathy, because when you get a chance to meet my darling Anna, she is not anyone that carries the burden of that. In fact, she has forgiven the perpetrator.
Wow.
She's forgiven her mother for not protecting her, and she's forgiven her biological father who left when she was four, who wasn't, you know, had he stuck around, this wouldn't have happened. Now, fuck me, Zach. If she can forgive that, maybe I can forgive my father for being not as present with me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And again, it's not to compare ourselves to other people's situations, but sometimes you look at their life. Can you imagine going through that, and every time a miscarriage happens, being further reminded of that? Now, the beautiful thing is she finally had the courage to share with her mother last year, and her mum went full bat crazy on the stepfather, and they got the police involved. She ran into a gynecologist who's been able to figure out something that the Australian medical industry overlooked, and there's a resolution on its way, right? So it's the greatest comeback story, and her book is going to be an international killer, right?
I can't wait.
So I don't know if that's really answered what your question was, Zach, but I thought it was important to share that. And Anna's got her own podcast, which is called The World's Best Trauma Recovery Podcast, by the way, and it fucking is.
That's amazing. You know, I think it does answer the question, at least for me, Laban, in the sense that really at some level, I hear you describing these powerful stories in both your story and Anna's story. And just let's acknowledge her for a moment and just give, I mean, she gave us permission to let you share this. And it's just how she is using her negative experience as a miracle in the world and impacting lives is just awesome in its own right. But at some moment, that courageous decision to face the fear, to face the easy way of just staying on the path you've always been on, even when it's not a good path. That's what's so deceptive about it. Just because it sucks and it's incredibly negative doesn't mean that it's easier to get something else. It's easy to stay right where you're at. And just that decision to do whatever is necessary to start moving in a new direction. And on the other side of courage and forgiveness in your life and in Anna's life are miraculous outcomes. So, I mean, Laban, when we first met, you told me several stories. I'm sure you could pull from dozens or hundreds of examples, but just to inspire someone listening about why this work is worth it, why courage and forgiveness and everything you're saying is worth it, can you just tell us about the kinds of miracles that you're seeing in your life now as a result of this lifestyle?
You know, I might be the world's best courage coach, but she's the most courageous person I know.
Oh, amen.
But she attributed her ability to open up to me because of my honesty and my vulnerability, because I have lived a hedonistic life. Imagine if Charlie Sheen and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas had a baby, right? And some of it's in the, well, most of it's in the book, but so there's a lesson, you know, in a masculine feminine relationship, male and female, heterosexual men, the braver and courageous and vulnerable you can be in your own relationships will inspire your partner to relieve the burden of tyranny. Mm. And that is the greatest gift you can give anyone, because now Anna is focusing on sharing this message with the world. She just empowers me with her feminine energy and is not caught up in her own demons. And she really is the one that is behind the amount of courage and bravery, because she says yes to everything. And I think that's really important. But to share a story with you, this is something that happened to me the other day. I was back in Phoenix. And this is an example, I think, of what we can all do. I ordered a lift, and it was about a 10-minute journey up the road. And I could see on my phone that the lady's name was April. And this is how my brain works, right? So I get in the car. I don't even say hello or anything. I start singing that Dragon song, which is a band from New Zealand. You might have heard it. It says, take me to the April sun in Cuba. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, you did. Oh, it's awesome.
That's and awesome. She cracks up and she says, wow, you're in a great mood today. And I said, April, my life is a daily miracle. And she's like, that's so great to hear. And I said, well, what miracles are you creating today? And she couldn't think of any. And I said, well, that's okay. I said, what's the miracle you're most proud of? And I don't know where this stuff comes from, but she said to me, she blurted out, she said, Laban, 5 years ago, I reconnected with my father. She was a Native American lady in her mid-50s, and her father had left when she was really young, and she had nothing to do with him. Now, we all know the effect that that has on society, right? It's disastrous. But she had reconnected with her father and spent the last 5 years healing their relationship, and she'd moved on. And then he, you know, he eventually passed away, but she'd made reparations with her dad. And I just said to her, I was blown away by her response. And this is, this to me is a great example of why having these kind of conversations is really beneficial. Okay. So I said to her, April, I said, you know, congratulations. That is so great. She said, thanks, Laban. She said, I'm trying to be the best role model for my kids that I can be. And I just said to her, April, have you ever hated someone that you didn't know? And she said, yeah, I have. I said, is it not then possible that you can love someone that you don't know? She said, yeah, I think so. I said, you know why? She said, why is that, Laban? I said, I love you, April. I love you. And I meant it. And I meant it in only the way that you can mean it in that context. Now, she burst into tears. Like the waterworks came. And, you know, the ride's over at this point. And her and I get out of the car. We're embracing for about 2 minutes, right? This is my Lyft driver. She's taking her mask off. And she said to me, something that really struck me, and it was the reason I wanted to share this. She said, Laban, you have no idea how badly I needed to hear that today. You have no idea. Now, here's the kicker. I walk off feeling like Iron Man. I get to feel good. If yes. I'm feeling like that, how's she feeling?
Yes.
Now, that's good. Not an example of where some monetary gain happened or an introduction to someone high-powered. There's plenty of those stories that I could share. But that is a simple example of how you can improve the world around you. And there's a book title that I've been toying with, and it's like, change yourself before you change the world. It's like so many people are like, oh, what can I do to change the world? You know, change yourself before you change the world, and that's how you can do it.
I just love the arc of this, right? You going from rock bottom, a decision to ask for help, the courage to do really hard work to change your life, the identification with being the world's best courage coach, and then in a moment with a total stranger to show up that way and create a miracle in her life, and the reward that you get to experience in that process. We could just put a period on it, full stop, keep showing up every day just like that. So this is, it may feel really big. This is huge, Laban. How do I possibly get from where I'm at to where you're at? I'd love to be, you know, walking around and creating miracles with Lyft drivers. This is so cool. Can you bring it to something bite-sized for us? If somebody just wants to experience courage at a new level in their life today, and start on a track to making miracles happen, what would be that tiny starting point for someone?
A very great and important question. And all I would say is that the moment you can condition your brain to believe the statement, what people think of me is none of my business. What people think of me is none of my business. And it's true. It really is true. And it's not saying that you can't be verbally berated by someone and not be negatively impacted by it, or someone leaving some hurtful comment on Twitter. But what people think of me is none of my business. So, all right, so that's okay. So if I can figure that out. So does that mean when I share stories of being drugged and drunk and promiscuous that it doesn't matter what people say? Yeah, because what people think of me is none of my business. And what happens is as you claim more and more ownership, and you're not doing a woe is me statement, you're reclaiming the ownership, you're reclaiming the power. Because if you're whinging to people, 90% of people don't care and 10% are glad it's happening to you, right? So you're reclaiming the power. You're able to share your story better. When you share your story truly and vulnerably, people connect with you and they like you and they engage with you, then they open up and they feel safe. And then this perpetual snowball happens. And you get to a point where you've spoken so much about your trauma that it doesn't have any power anymore. It's like you're watching a movie.
Yes.
And I've witnessed that in Anna, and I've certainly witnessed that in myself. And I've had thousands of conversations, but you got to start somewhere. And you don't have to do what I'm doing. You don't have to copy me, but become comfortable not caring what other people think of you. And what's the reason that I'm sharing this story? Well, you've all got this great message. We've all gone through our own traumas. And the best thing you can do for people is allow them to feel like they're not alone in this world.
Powerful.
When, you know, when Anna's story got picked up by a magazine in Russia, where she's from is just north of Japan. It's its own island called Sakhalin Island, very famous for oil and a few other things, oil and gas and fishing. 300,000 people on the island. Like, Anna put her email address and when she shared the story, which no one does in Russia, no one does. And it went crazy, crazy viral. And she got hundreds and hundreds of emails from other women on the island saying, this happened to me. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like this relief of trying to have this perfect life. And it doesn't serve anyone well. So share away. Because what people think of you is none of your business.
What people think of me is none of my business. Powerful belief. So start nurturing that in your life today. If you believe that fully, what would you do different in the stories you tell and the way you show up? Laban, before I go to the last question, I mean, I could talk to you all day, man. This is my favorite topic with courage, and you just have so many powerful stories. And thank you so much for being vulnerable with us. But before we do that, I want people to know where to find you and how to access this in their own life if they want to take steps here. So just share with our audience, where can they get connected with Laban, the world's best courage coach?
The two main areas. I mean, if you buy the book, it's available on every Amazon site on the planet. You can get it through my website, but it's called Bet on You by Laban Ditchburn. And if you buy the Kindle, there's a link with some free resources that talk more about this stuff. And if it's not the best book that you've read in the last 12 months or listened to, send me an email and I'll refund you the money. I will. It's brilliant, right? It's outrageous. But I don't know why I declared that. That's how much I believe in it and seeing the impact it's having on people's lives, right? But labanditchburn.com is where you can find all the goodness, so all the podcasts and the coaching and whatever other ultra running and my hot misses, whatever else you want to, whatever flicks your switch.
I love that. I just want to absolutely acknowledge you and your work to the highest level, because Laban, not only is the book tremendous, but as an engineer myself, and for the engineering audience who may be tuned into this, it's easy to get caught up in thinking that the next thing I need in life is the PhD, it's the MBA, it's the promotion, it's the, you know, the higher paycheck, the bigger title. Maybe you feel like you're above those things, but you're focused on filling the blank. If we don't do the work that Laban's talking about in our own life and start showing up with that kind of courage, forgiving the people we need to forgive and really digging in, I could tell you that the level of miraculous outcomes that Laban experiences is available to you, but you got to be willing to do this work. So go get the book. Don't ask questions there. You just got the guarantee from Laban. If it's not the best book you've read, he'll give you your money back, and you're not going to need to ask for your money back. I can tell you that right now. Laban, I want to land the plane. There's so many things we could go to, but I always end with the same question. And I'm excited to hear where your heart takes us. I believe that the questions we ask lead and the answers follow. And if we want different answers in our life, let's ask different and better questions. So for the engineering leader who's been with us in this conversation, who wants to experience courage and miracles in their life, what would be the best question you would lead them with today?
I'll give you a practical one. And it just came to me because there was a conversation that came up this morning between Anna and I about unrequited advice. And let's say you're the lead of a big team of engineers. Let's say you got 10 people, get every single one of them at individual points. What kind of person do I need to be for you and I to have a better business relationship with each other? Or what kind of boss do I need to be in order for you and I to have the best outcomes? If you pose these kind of questions, you can take them into your relationship with your kids, if they're old enough, with anyone in your life. And I can say to Anna, what kind of partner do I need to be in order for you and I to have a better relationship? And if you give people permission to respond, they'll tell you what they want. The power is in the listener.
Yes.
The power is in the listener. Start asking open questions. Who, what, how, when, why? And watch the world around you transform and stop waiting for them to stop speaking so you can formulate your response. Be in the moment with them. Listen, actively listen. And your brains, you especially, you engineers, you're clever people. You know, I reversed engineered all of my stuff. I believe that I was an engineer in a former life. But ask some open questions and watch the world around you transform.
So good. What kind of person do I need to be? And you fill in the blank. Where do you need to focus? Is that your work team? Is that your spouse? Is that your kids? Just go get into those courageous, vulnerable conversations. Laban, you embody my favorite word, courage, and encouragement, to place courage into other people. That's what you do. You've done it for me. I'm encouraged today. Thank you so much for your time and being with us. This has been fantastic.
I got to say, Zach, how would the world's best courage coach conduct himself? Thank you. Hey, you're a wonderful interviewer, and I love that you gave me the space to just to answer the questions. And for those that haven't, you need to subscribe and give a rating. It's really important to drive organic traffic so that other people can hear this. Wherever you're listening to this or on YouTube, share it with someone you care about, and sending everyone lots of love and abundance. Bet on you, baby.
This episode has been brought to you by Massive Action and Decisive Leadership. Okay. No, those are not companies you can just buy success from, but they are qualities you must master if you want to build your career and balance your life. So to help you out, I'm offering my most popular ebook, 49 Things You Must Do to Accelerate Your Engineering Career, for free on our homepage at oasisofcourage.com. If you will take action on just one of these simple tips each week, I promise you will experience a whole new level of results in the coming year. The problem is that we make everything too complex. Success at work is not rocket science. I mean, you might actually be a rocket scientist, and yet you're not getting the success you desire. One engineering senior manager told me that taking action on tip 34 by itself helped him feel happier at work and allowed him to start spending more quality time with his kids. To get your free copy of the ebook, just visit oasisofcourage.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and click download now. Okay, my friend, it's just you and me for a second, and let's talk about how this incredibly powerful conversation with the world's best courage coach, Laban Ditchburn, becomes action and creates value and miracles in your life today. Please, please, please remember, this podcast does you no good at all if you simply listen and do not take action. So here's the thing I want to begin with. You might be feeling, I don't know, just disconnected in a way from your career when you listen to this conversation. You know, talking about rock bottom moments, drugs, alcohol, gambling, challenges at home, being abused, trauma, may feel a bit heavy or a bit disconnected from your day-to-day life at work. Maybe none of those things really resonates for you. And I just want you to know that's okay. You may not have the same kinds of trauma that Laban had in his life, but this absolutely applies in your journey. And it begins with taking a close look at a word that came up in our conversation, conditioning. I want you to think about this concept of conditioning and ask yourself, where have you been conditioned to show up or behave a certain way that is not serving you in building your career or in other areas of your life? And a couple came up that I want to highlight for you from our conversation today. The first was false humility. False humility. We've been conditioned to stay in this place of false humility rather than to declare our greatness and to step into our genius. And I want you today to know that not stepping into your genius from a place of humility that is false is not serving the world and it is not serving you. There is power in the impact you can have on the world around you for the good of other people by owning up to your full identity, your potential, and your genius. We've been conditioned into false humility. Another one, conditioned that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I love what Laban said, maybe you caught it, that his decision to ask for help and ask for help and keep asking for help until he found what he needed was out of a place of strength, not weakness. Asking for help makes you strong, not weak. But the world around us has conditioned us. It is conditioning you to believe that asking for help is a sign of ignorance, a sign of weakness. That is not true. We've been conditioned. Or another one, conditioned to take perspective from something that does not add value to our life. Comparing ourselves to things that we have no business comparing ourselves to. Comparing our worst day to someone else's Instagram lifestyle. We've been conditioned to compare. We've been conditioned to overly care what people think about us. Now, yeah, there are some automatic, you know, we'll call it lizard brain mechanisms in our life that seek to understand where we are at in the tribe, in the hierarchies of our lives. And that is a survival instinct that makes a lot of sense, right? We want to understand where we're at in any given context. Am I at the top of this food chain or am I at the bottom of this food chain and I need to be worried about getting kicked out because my survival depends on it? That's not what I'm talking about when we talk about comparison. A growth mindset does want to know where you stand in relationship to your goals, your dreams, and your vision. We want that feedback so that we can take setbacks and turn those into learning and action and growth. But an overly concerned investment of caring what other people think that is not leading to feedback, action, learning, etc., you know, that's a conditioning. It's something that then creates a lot of negative outcomes in our life. So that's just a couple examples. But where have you been conditioned to think or behave in a certain way? That is something that applies whether we're seeking to overcome a significant addiction or trauma in our life, or if you're simply asking the question, what do I need to do to prepare for my next promotion, to prepare for my next big presentation, or to lead my team well as the manager, director, VP of this organization? Get curious about your conditioning. Last thing I want to say for the moment, because this was a long conversation and Laban gave us so much value already. We just want to focus on getting into action here. So the question Laban left us with, I really want to encourage you to go and ask that to someone this week. Do not hesitate. Even better, do it today. Never leave the site of a decision without taking an action to make that decision real in your life. So I want you to decide that you will ask the question Laban challenged us with. What kind of person do I need to be in order to help improve our business relationship, to improve our performance on this project, to improve the quality of our marriage, to improve the joy that we take from this friendship? You know already, just trust whatever pops into your conscious mind right now. You know who the first group or person is that you need to go ask this question to. And I want to challenge you to be courageous and go ask in a safe and vulnerable way and then simply listen. Practice listening. The listener has the power. Go do that this week and then report back. I want to hear, how is that changing your life? What was the outcome? What were the results? Please reach out to me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time there. Or shoot me an email, zach@oasisofcourage.com. It's Z-A-C-H. All the contact info for me and our team is there on our website, oasisofcourage.com. But I would love to hear, how is your action on what you're learning and discovering in this podcast changing your life? How are you expanding in success, abundance, happiness, love? The things that we want to create more of in our life that flow from an amazing career as an engineering leader. Have fun this week, be courageous, and let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.